Well, good morning again. Disclaimer. In kids camp this week, we did paper mache. When I say we did paper mache, I didn't do paper mache, but there was a team of people that did paper mache. The first day I was in games outside, I walked in, and this one kid had more paper mache on themselves than actually on the balloon, in which case I thought, oh dear. But just to thank the team that did the paper mache, Christy, I don't know how many nights you were here until who knows when. The team was big. You know who you are. Thank you so much for the crafts. Thank you to every person that was just involved. It was amazing. To the people who did the lessons. And it was so awesome. We have amazing young people in this church. It was 8 o'clock. We were taking down for the barbecue. And we still had youth helping take down. They were here all week. And they're not asked to do that. They choose to do that. So you know who you are. Thank you so much for serving and blessing this community. When I get into the word this morning, I want to put a little disclaimer, though. One of my favorite portions of scripture is in the book of Philippians. It's Philippians 3. Paul says it best. He says, "Not that I have obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me." In essence, what he's saying is that what he's teaching, he doesn't fully know perfectly. He's learning as he goes. He's still learning some stuff. The message that I'm about to share, when you look at commentaries and go online and listen to pastors, there's an average age of about 60 plus. And here I am, 35, I'm a parent who, with a 16-month-old, I do not know nearly enough and I'm learning. And the story that I'm about to share with you is going to prove how much I still have to learn about parenting. I did not realize how much kids copy us as parents and as adults and the people around us. What I did not realize is how much, for some strange reason, church, that I hit myself on the head. So, my wife right now is laughing her guts out at me. So, I don't know why, but when I think something is funny, the first thing I do is I grab my head. When people watch scary movies and they put the pillow by their ears, by their eyes, not their ears, and they're just waiting for the scary part, well, we don't really watch scary movies, but I do that when I watch a funny part and it's awkward. For instance, when I watch The Office and Michael Scott is about to say something that's really embarrassing and awful, what I do is I cover my hands on my head like this and make a pretty loud noise. So guess what my son does? Yeah, why does he keep hitting himself on the head? Like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? Then he adds a new one. Now, I think my wife has something to do with this, but what he'll do is he'll lick his hand and then slap himself. Where did he learn that? Like, come on. So I'm thinking I'll be responsible for the hit part. My wife, for some reason, maybe licks her hand. I'm not sure why. But we'll take 50-50 there, okay? My son copies what I do. How many parents can relate? Grandparents, how many can you relate? Yeah? Okay, had no idea. Learning experience. What we're going to do this morning is focus on a little portion of scripture. It is small, but it is potent. This portion of scripture is in three different places. It's in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and the part that we're going to study is Luke 18. So, Wayne, if you could pull that up for me, and we're going to read this together. And again, disclaimer, I am learning as I go, okay? People who are also bringing babies to Jesus to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." Now, this portion of scripture is potent. It is profound. It is definitive information, foundational understanding of how God views babies and little kids. Another disclaimer. I did not know that Lucy was getting baptized this week until about Wednesday. I did not realize that that was happening, which is a perfect illustration for this portion of scripture, which we're going to get into. Now, as a parent, what I learned very quickly when my son was born is that I immediately started having a concern. And the concern is protecting my kid, loving my kid, starting to understand that I need to educate my kid and teach my kid not to do this, but also teach him about who my Savior was. Because what happened is that I started to think about my kid's eternity. Who is going to be his God? Who is he going to follow? I want him to know the Savior in my life, Jesus Christ. The context of this scripture, these parents that are bringing their babies, it didn't change from then to now. These parents have this worry that they want their kids to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, they're the same thing. And what these parents want is they want their kids to be in heaven, to know who God is. And so they were essentially bringing their kids to Jesus to get him to bless them. Blessing by putting their hands on and praying for these kids. Before we get into point by point of this, I want to give some context. And the context is interesting. Because in the accounts in Matthew 19 and Mark 10, what precedes this portion of scripture is a conversation about divorce and marriage and singleness and family. And that context is the context of talking about family. During this time, the Pharisees had this plan to stumble Jesus, to make him trip up in his words, that maybe he would contradict himself, and they would ask these questions in multitude and crowds to try to get Jesus to stumble in what he was saying, because they didn't like what he was saying. They wanted him executed. And so there's big crowds, and here he is, and he's talking about marriage and family, and these parents are bringing their kids to him. The kingdom of God. I know many of us know it, but real quick, I don't know if you've heard this before, the already not yet kingdom. In school, I remember a professor saying, whenever you think of kingdom of God, think kingship. The rule, reign, and authority of where God is. And right now, the already that's here is this spiritual kingdom where he reigns. He rules. One day when Jesus comes, the not yet part, it will both be a spiritual and natural kingdom when Jesus comes that day. Right now, already, but not yet. This kingdom that they're referring to, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, these parents, these grandparents maybe, these aunts and uncles, these cousins, they want their kid to be in the kingdom of God. So in Matthew and Mark, that account before which precedes this, is they're talking about marriage, trying to trip up Jesus. In the account in Luke 18, what precedes it, is this conversation about the kingdom of God. And what he does is he gives a parable, because that's what Jesus does. He tells them stories, and he talks about this tax collector and this Pharisee. And this Pharisee, how he thinks he has earned it. He thinks he's righteous. He thinks his works have got him a place in heaven. And then there's this tax collector who wouldn't dare go into the presence in the temple, beats his chest and say, "Have mercy on me, I am a sinner." And God says, it's actually that sinner, that tax collector who's repented, they're in the kingdom of God. But this is where the potency of this verse comes. Because what he has the audacity to do is he relates it to a baby. Now, what do we know about babies? Well, Tim actually described it earlier. They can't talk. They can't walk. They haven't done much at all to earn much of anything. My favorite part about when my son was 4 months old is when he was sleeping on my chest and not doing much. And I was holding him, loving him, and I was like, this is awesome. But he has done nothing to earn anything. And so Jesus relates this to a little baby. It says, you know how you get into the kingdom of God? Like a baby. You cannot earn it. Now, during this time, which is important, is that there's this theme, this narrative in Jewish culture, and that narrative is righteous works. The way you get into the kingdom of God, the way you get to heaven, is by the amazing righteous works that you do. How would that look today? Well, maybe you counted how many pieces of watermelon you cut in kids camp. And guess what? There was a lot of watermelon in kids camp. Maybe it was how cool you served or how much you led or how many worship sets you had up at the front. What cool message maybe you've preached. And this idea that through that, I'm going to heaven. And what Jesus is saying in this portion of scripture is that's not correct. A baby has done nothing to earn it. Nothing at all to earn a way to heaven, a way into the kingdom of God. Which now brings us to this portion of scripture. So they're bringing their babies to him. And he's laying their hands on them. He's blessing them. He has them in the arms, even, in Matthew's account. He's holding them. And this is routine in ancient times, in Jewish culture. In Jewish culture, in ancient times, two things are true. One is that there would be an elder or a rabbi at a local synagogue. And what parents would do is they would bring their child or their baby, they would bring them to the synagogue, and they would want the elder or rabbi to pray for that kid. And they would lay their hands on the baby, and they would pray for him. And we can actually even study what those prayers are. They're used today even. One prayer that was very popular during that time, which still is today, is the prayer would go something like this. That he or she would grow up faithful and famous in the law, faithful in marriage, and abundant in good works. Amen. That would be the prayer in ancient times. That he would be, or she would be, grow up to be famous in the law, faithful in marriage, abundant in good works. And so parents knew this. You would bring your kid to the synagogue and the rabbi or the elder would pray for you. So it makes sense that this is what they're doing. They've heard about Jesus Christ and the wonders that he's done, and he's redemptive and he's restoring people, he's healing people. He has power. We're going to bring our kid to this rabbi and hope that his eternity is secure by being blessed by Jesus Christ. And then, boom. These disciples who have been with Jesus, who have saw these miracles, who've been standing with him, sitting and learning from him, asking questions, still don't get it. This theme of righteous works in this era, in ancient times, was prevalent. And so they start rebuking those parents. Imagine that scene. They're rebuking the parents from bringing their kids to see Jesus Christ. That word rebuked, the Greek word, epitumato, it's a compound form of the verb. What it is intensifying the action. And all to say, rebuked is a very strong word. It's an intense word. Epitumato. They were rebuking them. They were standing up and saying, no, your kids aren't welcome here. Get out, you're not allowed. This is an adult party. Your kids aren't welcome here. And if you want to know an example of what righteous indignation, righteous anger looks like, it's Jesus Christ in this moment. His boys that have been following him, his disciples, he stands up and he goes, no, no, no. And he starts summoning the parents, bring your kids to me, in direct opposition of these guys. No, no, I love these kids. They're mine. I'm going to lay my hands on them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to bless them. What you're saying, nuh-uh. Be done. No good. You don't get it. You can't earn your way into the kingdom of God. But Jesus knew something also. He knew that they were sinners. He knew that these kids were born into sin. He knew that they were rebellious. Earlier in the account of Matthew, Matthew 11:16, there's this account. And what he's doing is he's using the example of kids and illustrating them, the Israelites, as children. So during ancient times, this is what would happen. There would be a marketplace, a central area where people would hang out in these villages and towns. And in these squares, a lot of stuff would take place, in particular, weddings and funerals. What the kids would do is they would stand around the outside in groups, and they would copy and play and copy and copy and copy what the adults would be doing. and copy and copy and copy what the adults were doing. What were they doing? Well, they were doing weddings and funerals. How do we know that? Well, the song that's used, the language, there's a dirge, which is a funeral song, and a pipe, which is a ceremony song to dance. And in Matthew 11, he's referring to them, these adults and Israelites, as children because they're rebellious like the kids in the marketplace that won't take part in the wedding and the funeral. They'll sit on the outskirts and say, I'm too cool for school. I'm not doing what you're throwing down. I'm going to do my own thing. Parents, does that sound like maybe something you've heard before? No, I'm not doing it. I'm doing my own thing. Jesus knew that these kids were sinners. He knew they were born into sin. He knew what would come. The big choices they would make. He knew. But yet, he loved them. But yet, they were his. But yet, they were chosen. But yet, they were in the kingdom of God. And what was he saying? Bless them. Come here. Come here, bring your kid. Come here, bring your kid. Come here, I love them. Come here. Bring your kid. Don't listen to them right now. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to talk to them later. Bring your kids. I want to bless them. This little portion of scripture, which is found in three different places, is definitive, foundational information and statement about how God views little ones and babies. In that scripture, it says, do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. That literature, that language, such as these. It's not saying to that particular moment. It's not saying to just these kids that I see right now. Such as these is saying all kids, all babies, all little ones who are not accountable for their actions are in the kingdom of God. I love them and I've chosen them. Do not hinder them. Do not hinder them. And here's the challenge for us this morning. This week, I had the opportunity to see a lot of kids come in these doors and be blessed. There was one story we heard, and I wanted to share it. The 7-year-old girl, I believe, she asked for a Bible last year. So she got a Bible and she took it home and she would study it. And I think the story was about 2 months every day she studied this Bible. This year they came back. Her parents shared the story. And now all the siblings have gotten a Bible. And there they're at home studying the Bible because this little girl said, I would like a Bible. And for 2 months studied this thing. How many kids did we see walk through those doors this week? Blessed. Parents who knew we can trust these guys with our kids. Like we've been learning in our community opportunity scan, if you took a 2.5 kilometer radius around our church, over 50% of the homes in this community have kids in them. That's over 50% of the homes in our community. We have an opportunity to show just how much God wants them. God loves them. God doesn't care what family they come from, what choices they made. He loves them. He's chosen them. They are his kids. As I watched my son grow older, I was the ignorant parent who thought my son was going to be perfect. I thought my son will not sin. He's going to be awesome and make all the right choices. So my son started this new little game. Now that he's mobile, there's a portion in our living room, this part where there's a fireplace, which we're trying to teach him to not touch, and this entertainment stand with some DVDs. I see a lot of parents going, oh, okay, I can understand what you're saying. Okay. So he started moving up to it. What he does is he gets as close to it as possible, and then he looks at us. And then he gets as close to his butt, and then he looks at us. And he knows, and then we go, no, Judah, and he'll go back, no, 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 no. And then he has the audacity to touch it. And then he looks at us. And we're like, no! That kid is loved by God. Every kid that is here this morning is loved by God. And there is a special place that we just read and studied for those kids. And this church, this community, these families have an opportunity to show that love and to bless kids. To bless them. That there's laughter and joy and excitement. That they feel like they're a part of this community. What an opportunity it is for this church and this community to be a blessing to all kids. And I would challenge you as parents, as grandparents, as aunts and uncles, as friends, as cousins. Bless your kids. Pray with your kids. Hug your kids. Kiss your kids. Love on your kids. Hold your kids. Read the Bible to your kids. Educate the kids. Teach the kids. Continue to do what you're doing. And making God a priority. And teaching them. God loves you. You're His. How different our parenting would look. How different our churches would look. If we really understood and knew how God views those kids. It's profound. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for you. We thank you that you bless our kids. We thank you that you love our kids. We thank you that you have chosen our kids. Father, we have so much to learn. Father, would we not hinder our kids' progress? Would we not hinder their learning, their loving, their growing, their mistakes? Would we not hinder the growth that you want for them, but would we enable it, pursue it, teach it? Father, I thank you that we got to see a young baby this morning, blessed, prayed for, encouraged, and loved. Father, we love the Avenel family. We love little Lucy. But God, it's in response because you first loved her. Every kid that's represented, every kid that walked through those doors, you love them. So Father, in response, would we love those kids? Would we love the families of those kids? Would we have open arms and open doors saying, come, come, come. We love you, God, and we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word. We pray this in your name. Amen.